Thank you so much. You know, I've been at all the LENA meetings to date, and they get bigger and better and more diversified, and I'm constantly learning, and I have my newest pointer of telling families to avoid cocktail parties and birds while reporting. So I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to share with you some information about our longitudinal study of children with permanent hearing loss who were all identified in the newborn period in Rhode Island in our Universal Newborn Hearing Program. So giving you a little bit of background, as many of you here are involved with children who are hard of hearing, you certainly know that children with congenital hearing loss are at significantly increased risk of receptive and expressive speech and language delays, behavioral disorders, literacy issues, and that the later that they're identified, the greater is that gap. However, children with hearing loss identified early and who receive amplification and early intervention services have been shown to have significantly improved outcomes. And actually, Christy Oshinagi-Tana, who's in this audience, published the first study that convinced pediatricians, the Academy of Pediatrics, and Fetus and Newborn Committee to support universal newborn hearing screening in the United States. So the objective of this study, unfortunately, when I first got my LENA, these children had already been in this study for a number of years, so I couldn't do it prospectively, but the objective was to evaluate both the language skills and the language environment at 6 to 7 years of age. And our cohort was divided into those who had been identified by 3 months of age and those identified after 3 months of age and comparing them to hearing controls. Our hypotheses were that by age 6 to 7, children with hearing loss who were in the early EI group will have better language scores than children in EI after 3 months, and we had shown this at earlier ages. And also, we felt that they would probably have a more optimal language environment than children enrolled late, and a more optimal language environment would be associated with better language skills. So language and LENA outcomes of the children identified in the Rhode Island Hearing Screening Cohort between October of 2012, January 2005 were evaluated. The cohort consists of children who were either screened in the neonatal intensive care unit or in the well baby nursery and diagnosed with hearing loss. And the hearing controls were all who completed and passed the newborn hearing screen process. So we did LENA 16-hour recordings. We also administered the Rhinel developmental language scales and derived a comprehension and expressive language scale. And we did the Kaufman assessment battery for children, the KABC, to assess verbal and nonverbal intelligence. These are all the variables that we evaluated. I have language up there because we found in this cohort that the total language environment in the home was a good predictor. So we did some bivariate analyses. Then we followed these by correlation, linear analyses, and multiple regression analyses. This shows you the maternal characteristics, and the only difference, this was at this age, a reasonably higher SES cohort. It's smaller. EI less than 3 months, there were 11. After 3 months, 9. 36 hearing controls. And the ones who could not participate those in this component of the studies were those who were deaf-deaf, because we wouldn't be able to record anything, and also those who, there were a number of families who just did not want to have the recordings done in their home. But you can see it's at least a high school education, 82% in the early group, 100% in the two later groups. When we looked at some of the child characteristics, and as you recall, it's a mix of NICU and well baby nursery infants. The only difference was in the early group, there were fewer infants, less than 1,500 grams, And one of the reasons for this is many of these babies are actually in the intensive care unit for 3 months or more, so they automatically get diagnosed a bit later. Okay, I'm just showing you a little bit of the characteristics here of whether they had a unilateral hearing loss or a bilateral severe to profound. And I see that I'm having trouble seeing the screen down there, but let me walk over here for a minute. So the point that I wanted to make that in both groups in early intervention about before 3 months, it was sort of evenly distributed by degree of hearing loss. And also, if you look at uses some sign language, in the mild unilateral group, there was one, and in the severe profound group, there were six infants. Age of amplification under 6 months was really interesting. It was over about 76% in the severe to profound, which was great, but only 12.5% in the other group. And if you notice, there were a lot of late amplifications there because we found that the families with mild or unilateral loss were often resistant to having amplification early on. This shows you the children's cognitive and language scores. And this is by EI before 3 months and after 3 months, and the controls. And the Kaplan nonverbal intelligence, you can see, is pretty good for those under 3 months. It was 93 compared to 78 after 3 months, and just about at the mean for our hearing controls of 103. We jump down to verbal comprehension. Here we start seeing more impact. Although 85 mean for those under 3 months is within one standard deviation of the mean, the late group is 75, and the full terms are right at 100 where we would expect them. When we look at expressive skills, they're a bit better, 95, 88, and just over 100. We thought we would show you the same results by degree of hearing loss, and this compares the unilateral or milds to moderate and severe. And here we see, again with the Kaufman, they're almost identical for those two groups. That's the, as you recall, the nonverbal IQ. For rhinal verbal comprehension, the children with unilateral are doing somewhat better at 82 and 79. They're really, I should say, almost identical. Both of them are lower than full-term controls. And it's the same thing for expressive. It just misses significance. I think if we had a larger sample size, it would be significant, but they're essentially 10 points lower. These are some of the Lena variables by the early group in the first column, late EI, second column, and full-term controls. We did not see differences in total percent language, total percent meaningful language, conversational turns per hour, or I'm not showing them all, adult word count. So we wanted to see, are there any other factors? We looked at time of day, degree of hearing loss, and stay in the NICU all for our Lena variables. And here we see the median adult word count. The only thing of interest was midday. This was divided into 4 hours, 4 hours, and 4 hours. Midday, there were trends for more adult word count, but there were no group differences. When we looked by NICU versus non-NICU, there were no differences in the Lena variables. We looked at degree of hearing loss. Again, there were no differences in the Lena variables. So let's look at the relationship now between the Lena variables and the outcomes. So I'm going to walk over here again. I'm going to shout out so you can all hear me. So adult word count, you can see, is there's a pretty significant R value there of 0.55, and some of these missed significance. I think it's because we just have a small sample size, so there's a nice effect size. Adult word count with conversational turns, percent total language with Rinell comprehension scales at 0.54. We also see the interesting finding here was the relationship with silence for kids with hearing loss. So the more silence within that home environment, the lower we had scores. So that was in the early identified group. Okay, So here is the late identified group, and we see some very similar characteristics and significant findings between child vocalizations, Rinell expressive language, conversational turns, Rinell expression, and then percent total language and the percent meaningful language. So the percent total language and meaningful language were pretty consistent. Children, again, with hearing loss greater than 3 months, we find, again, silence in the homes is a really important predictor. This was children who used some sign. Now, if you remember, there was one in the early group, and or one in the unilateral mild group, and six in the other group who were using some sign language. They have similar, very strong, even though the numbers are quite small, correlations with our outcomes. But interestingly enough, when we looked here for the first time at the effect of silence, it did not have the same effect in terms of being a negative predictor. So we were making some assumptions that perhaps they were signing during some of that time period. And as expected, the findings for our full-term or our NICU and well-baby nursery controls were also significant, showing the relationship between adult word count and conversational turns and our outcome. So this is interesting, though. We then followed it by regression analysis. So we wanted to predict our Rinell comprehension scores for the children. This is only the children with hearing loss. So our predictors were, which had been found to be significant earlier, early intervention by 3 months, not being a NICU baby, and this is some of the variables. Here we looked at for each 10 percentage points of increase in total language in the home. You can see the beta there is 7.2 with a p-value of 0.02. So that means the Rinell score for every 10 percentage points was 7 points higher. The trends were similar for being in early intervention, 8.7 points, and for not being a NICU baby, 10 points, but they didn't reach significance, and I really am convinced that this is probably a sample size issue. This model accounted for 39% of the variance in predicting. So we found that total language was a great predictor. Here it also predicted expressive language, and for every 10 percentage points, it increased the Rinell expressive score, or it was associated with a 10-point increase, significant at 0.006. We then looked at child vocalizations. Every 100 child vocalizations per hour increased it also by 10 points. And this was conversational turns. So we looked at for every 10 conversational turns per hour, which isn't very much, it was increased by 3.3 points, and again, significant at 0.04. So again, this is showing you the importance here of the association of the LENA variables, even at 6 to 7 years, and not in an intervention study, but an observational study, but in a study in which all of these hearing impaired children were in early intervention and were getting guidance about communication and language and joint attention. So our summary is that children with hearing loss in both of the ER groups had verbal comprehension scores lower than our hearing controls, which is not particularly new, but as you recall, it wasn't that great of a difference. And children with hearing loss enrolled by 3 months had verbal comprehension scores 10 points higher than those enrolled after 3 months. Verbal expressive scores, however, were 7 to 13 points lower for children with hearing loss than for hearing children. And children with hearing loss in EI after 3 months versus before 3 months had similar language environments, although children with hearing loss after 3 months compared to before 3 months, there was a trend for them to still have more conversational turns. And although I didn't show it, that group of children were in more aggressive special ed speech-language services. So I think they were possibly getting more input. The other thought is perhaps that their speech segments were shorter. And silence was not associated with lower expressive language skills for children who were using some sign. So in summary, after adjusting for age of entry to EI and NICU admission, our LENA variables were significantly predictive and were associated with our RINAL scores, including total language, increased child vocalizations, and increased conversational terms. And I'll just go to this last one. I'm really thrilled with using the LENA, and it really is providing us not only with kids with hearing loss, but in the NICU and so many environments with a new mechanism to examine the language environment and to make decisions as a result of this on how best to support and intervene with families. Thank you.